Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today we have reached the end of this magnificent epistle, and so I want to look at what Jude taught about the only wise God. So let's open our Bibles and read the last verse of Jude, verse 25, together. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now, the half-brother of Jesus Christ is dedicating this entire epistle to the Lord in this verse, and that is a fitting tribute from this warrior who upheld doctrinal purity all through this entire letter. Now, as I mentioned on the very first broadcast, this book is the only book in the entire Bible that is dedicated to the issue of false teaching, heresy, heretics, and the great need for all of God's people to earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. This letter or epistle is not for the lost, but God the Holy Spirit inspired Jude to write it, and it is a part of the 66 books that make up the canon of Scripture. Therefore, we need to know what this book says, we need to know what this book means, and we need to understand how to apply this book to our lives today. And that is why I have gone through this great epistle verse by verse with you on the radio. As I mentioned earlier, this epistle was written to the church, to those who were saved and who proclaimed to know and love Jesus Christ. The subject that Jude deals with in this epistle is not salvation, but truth, and the long protracted war against the truth that evil men have waged. In the first two verses, Jude identifies who he is and to whom this letter is written. And you can see that by reading verse 1 that Jude says that he wrote this book to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. So we can see that Jude is not preaching to those who need to be saved, but to those who are already saved and who make up the visible church on the earth at that time. In verse 2, Jude blesses his readers, and then he tells them the reason that the Holy Spirit moved upon him to write this book. Look at verse 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. What Jude is saying here is that he was attempting to write a letter to the believers of his day to share with them some inspired words about what Jude terms the common salvation. But as he was writing, the Holy Spirit moved upon him, changed his letter to be an exhortation to the visible church for all believers everywhere to contend earnestly for the faith that was once handed down to the saints. Now, why did the Holy Spirit prompt Jude to change the letter? What happened that a letter that was talking about the common salvation among all true believers ended up being a letter to warn the church against apostasy and to identify those who were heretics and false teachers? What happened that changed this epistle? Well, verse 4 tells us, "For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ." Jude says here that because ungodly men have crept into the Christian church for the express purpose of corrupting the purity of the gospel, that this danger of losing divine truth was so serious a threat that he was inspired by Almighty God to pen the next 21 verses to enlighten the people of God about the real threat of heresy, to wake up those in church who had fallen asleep at the wheel, to blow an alarm in God's church, and to cause a new and earnest contending for that one single gospel that was personally given to the church by the Lord Christ Himself. by using the words and the terminology that he used in the next 8 verses. Jude is reminding his readers about what the Apostle Peter had prophesied about in 2 Peter 2 just a few years earlier. The main distinction between what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2 and what Jude writes in this epistle is that Peter used the future tense in his writing and Jude uses the present tense in his. This makes Peter's writing in 2 Peter 2 a prophetic utterance about what was coming to the church at some future date. Peter uses words and phrases like shall be, and shall follow in his epistle, showing that Peter was saying that heretics and false teachers were coming to the church at some future date to try to destroy the faith. And just a couple of years later, here in this epistle, Jude says, they're here. And less than 20 years after Jude wrote this epistle, in the book of the Revelation, the Apostle John tells us that 5 of the 7 churches of Asia were called upon by the Lord himself to repent, because they had completely fallen under the spell of false teaching. So Jude is crying out to whoever has an ear to hear that the very thing that the apostles Peter and John and Paul said were coming has arrived, and that the very moment that Jude was writing his epistle, the people of the church were being invaded, not by an external army of swords and spears, by an internal group of what he called certain ungodly men, spiritual terrorists, who were creeping into the church disguised as true believers, but in fact were bringing in damnable heresies that pertained to 3 aspects of Christianity: the gospel, the character and nature of God the Father, and the person of Jesus Christ. And Jude is writing this epistle to warn the church that these ravening wolves have crept into the rank of believers and formed sleeper cells right inside the church for the purpose of distorting the gospel, of teaching unbelievable things about God the Father, and doing their best to confuse people about who Jesus is and what Jesus did. It is fascinating to see how Jude was inspired by God the Holy Spirit to describe these heretics in verse 4, as he tells us clearly that these men were not sincere believers who were just a little bit off on their doctrine. No, Jude is very precise to say these certain men who crept into the church to deceive the simple were those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Now, brothers and sisters, when the Holy Bible says that some people are long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, you can spin this any way you want to, but this is real bad. These men are not saved people who are just a little off base or a little weird. No, the people that Jude is talking about are for real, sure enough, apostates. And so that we can understand just what Jude was talking about, I was faithful to go over the 7 major roots of heresy that have plagued the church since the beginning, so that we can see clearly that although these false teachings are ancient, they are by no means extinct, but are alive and well or are being taught on the radio, on so-called Christian television, and in a church somewhere near you. And that today in the 21st century, people are once again believing these ancient heresies and are being deceived by them all over again in our day. Now let me be quite clear with you about this subject. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding about this issue. I absolutely believe that there are modern day heretics in the church in the 21st century. I also absolutely believe that there are also a whole lot of good and sincere and saved people who love Jesus with all their hearts and who sit on the pews every Sunday and who live for God during the week. I absolutely believe that there are good and honorable men who preach the truth, who serve God, and who do their level best to lead people rightly all over this country. And at the same time, there is false doctrine being taught today by ravening wolves that is absolute blasphemy. I admire and support and am in awe of those men who faithfully love and serve Jesus Christ. I always have, and Lord willing, I always will. And I reject and denounce those who are false and who are liars and who are leading the sheep astray. Like Paul, I always try to lift up those who are faithfully preaching truth. And like Paul, I always try to identify those who are not. That is not my technique, dear friends. It was Paul's. I just copied it. There are many today who are faithful, but this book of Jude is not about faithful men. It is about false teachers. It is about false doctrine. And so my radio broadcasts have not dealt with the faithful, but the false. Some of you have wondered why I talk so much about heresy and false teachers. And the answer is very simple. I preach what I preach because I am expositionally preaching verse by verse through the Epistle of Jude. And whatever subject I am dealing with on a particular broadcast is what the Holy Spirit inspired Jude to write in that particular verse. I didn't write it. I'm just preaching about it. Preaching is about three things. What does the verse say? What does it mean? And how do I apply it to my own personal life? So I go through every verse, one at a time, explain what the verse says, what the original languages that the verse was written in says, then I expound on what the verse means, what the theology of that verse is, what divine truth is taught in that verse, and then I explain how we all can apply that divine truth to our own lives in the 21st century. And that is what is called expositional preaching. And sometimes that's easy and sometimes it's complicated and it takes more time, but it really doesn't matter if it takes 5 minutes or 5 months. The goal of Bible study is not to get finished. The goal of Bible study is to understand what God has said. If you read a verse and you don't understand it, how can you possibly apply it to your life? You can't. So God anoints preachers and commands them to study, to show themselves approved, so they can rightly divide the word of truth and make the saying plain, so that we can all hear and see and be changed by God's word. And I have done my best with this study on Jude. I have tried very hard not to hurry past anything. I have tried to teach the scriptures as they deserve to be treated, as being God's holy word, and to make sure that every verse is explained in detail. And I pray that you have been blessed by this effort. I sincerely made it to the glory of God. So Jude tells us that the danger of heresy is very real, and it is serious. And history proves that the greatest danger to the church has not come from the outside, from pagan kings or armies with spears in persecution, but the greatest danger to the church has come from within, from certain persons who crept in while the leaders of the church were otherwise distracted by the cares of this life, and that once they were in, they began to subvert and pollute the gospel and lead many astray. So the 2,000-year history of the Christian church is filled with the testimony of apostates rising up and in almost succeeding in destroying the church, and then God would raise up someone to earnestly contend for the faith, and the church would repent and return to her first love. Beloved, we live in that day again today. The modern church is filled with sleeper cells of spiritual terrorists who are planning acts of sabotage against the one true gospel and against the nature and character of God and against the person of Jesus Christ. And many in the church are being mesmerized by these modern snake oil salesmen and pied pipers. And so Jude spent verses 5 through 19 describing these evil people in great detail. And so that you would understand this correctly, I spent the bulk of these months teaching on those verses. And so now we come to the reason for it all. Jude, like all the other writers, wrote what they wrote and did what they did for the glory of God. And so Jude dedicates this great epistle to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Amen. And so for God's glory, we must all be diligent. For God's glory, we must persevere. For God's glory, we must all earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all handed down to the saints. Well, it has been one of the greatest pleasures of my life to journey with you through this wonderful epistle over these several months on this radio station. And I pray that you have been strengthened and edified by what we have discovered together in God's precious word. And Lord willing, we will begin a new journey through another inspired book of God's holy word to examine on the next broadcast. So buckle up. We're just getting started. Until then, may God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.